and what that teaches you about that person and what their potential is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It's people related, I guess. Plans for next week, honestly, I want to focus on the upsell. We've been talking about it a lot. I'm hoping the team, we've been working with the team to do like a POC and they're working on it. Training the assistant PM. And then also I have on my plate just the QBRs to do those. So those are quarterly business reviews with the clients and getting a pulse and NPS on how we're doing and trying to upsell them as well on our service, getting more experiments, et cetera.
Yeah. Talk to us about the QBRs because we do regular reviews with the clients. What's your strategy there? Here's what we've done.
Back in 2006, we had this great idea of starting a digital marketing agency, Invesp. We had no idea what our journey would look like and how our company would grow.
In a turn of events, as if we weren't busy enough, a couple of years ago, we launched our SaaS company, FicPi. Two companies run by a husband-wife team and stretched thin. Our life is crazier than ever.
Join us every week on Boot Trapped, where we talk about running our two companies, the ups, the downs, and the lessons we learn along the way.
We are back again. New episode, Boot Trapped. It's been a while. Ayat, how are you doing?
Good. I couldn't believe that we haven't recorded since February.
Time sometimes just flies, has a way. I think like I was going to PopCon, if I remember correctly, and then we start fasting, which is always an interesting month for us. But here we are.
Yep.
Back at it. Before we get into the whole, hey, what happened last week? Give us a quick update. Since we didn't record since February, it's been almost a couple months. Any big news before we get into kind of the little nitty-gritty?
Yeah, a couple of big changes for Invesp have been that we hired a new assistant PM. We had probably offered her the position a month ago. It takes usually a month until somebody leaves their old company and whatnot. So she just began, she just started with us. But that's something that I've been discussing in a lot of the episodes that I finally is done. So we'll see. Obviously, we're still seeing how she's going to mesh with the team, whether or not she's going to understand the process and marketing in general, because it wasn't her field before. The second big update for me is our sales guy, you know, is no longer with us. So that was a big change for us and just revisiting the whole sales process and all of that good stuff. So those are some big updates from our end.
So let's talk about hiring first assistant PM as opposed to a PM, assistant project manager as opposed to a project manager. What drives that? How do you hire? How do you interview for project management? Because that's at least I find to be one of the tougher positions to hire for.
It actually really is. I mean, I think we've tried to integrate some new systems into our process, but it's a new role altogether, assistant PM, because previously it was more of a PM and that really didn't pan out as well as we wanted it to. So we'll see. I can't really answer on the role itself of whether or not it's going to be a good fit. It's something that we're going to be exploring. But interviewing it, we've tried to change the way that we interview. I still don't know if we're able to figure out all the, I feel like there's still some areas of weakness in our interview process. It's interesting because we do this one final interview. So it's like the third interview that we do with an interviewee. And usually like I give a score and then somebody else who's interviewing gives a score as well. And we compare the scores and almost every single time we were so off in our scoring.
Like you versus the other person.
Right. Like I would give very high marks. That person would give very low marks. Even depending on the question, we would be so different. So that's why I'm saying that there's still areas of improvement when it comes to that. Because I do think that you do want a difference in opinion, but there should be some sort of kind of agreement that these are the things that we're looking for. And how do we find this information? How do we ask for this? Do our questions need to change? They do change according to the role, but like I said, I think there's still room for improvement. So we'll see.
And the problem that I find, because we go through the same process, is you're asking somebody about a specific situation. Hey, give me an example of this. Give me an example of that based on their experience. They give an example. You have two different people listening to the example that the interviewee gave. And now we assess, And it's almost like it really is not very objective because you're judging it based on your experience, you and I, what we bring to the table. I'm like, I love this answer. Somebody else might say, oh, it's a horrible answer. Really? Why is it horrible? Because of XYZ. Actually, I never thought about XYZ as I thought about ABC. And it's like, okay, I guess it depends on the angle that you look at the answer from.
Yeah. So that's why, I mean, like there are some things that I tend to look for, especially when it comes to project management. Hey, look, I'm looking for somebody who follows through. I'm looking for somebody who has good work ethic. I'm looking for, there are certain answers to me that show this. But again, it's a learning process. I believe it's one of those things that you continuously refine. You have to, just to find the right balance and whatnot.
Let me go back to the first question that I asked you. Why did you decide to hire NS? Because previously we've had a project manager and now you went for an assistant project manager. Was that intentional or just so happens?
No. We've changed like the overall structure of the team where we've made the CRO, what we're calling them, the CEO of their pod. And so the project manager before had a very integral, like important role in the sense that everybody would go back to them about everything, which just didn't make sense considering the fact that the CRO in the end is responsible, like in front of the client and deliverables and whatnot. So we tried to change that power dynamic, making the CRO the most important role, the CEO of their pod, everything kind of the buck stops with them about everything. In that particular case, when you're making the project management role a lot more like a smaller role, I guess. They're more of an assistant. They're more helping to make sure that things are running smoothly, but they're part of that whole team dynamic. So that's the idea there, is that's what we're trying to do, is not making the project manager the most important, but rather that they assist and help, but they're part of that whole pod where the CEO is really responsible in the end about everything.
Yeah.
So if something goes wrong, you go back to the CEO and you're like, hey, this went wrong. What's going on? You tell me the information. It's not really on the other individual team members.
It's almost like running an A-B test, except it's real life. An A-B test, you're looking, making modifications, correct? Let's modify this. Let's see how this plays out and trying to see what works and what doesn't work. Okay. So lots of exciting changes. What else has been going on at Invesp?
We've also worked on GA certification. Actually, a lot of our CROs are now GA certified and help. Hopefully, the idea there is just for us to become Google Analytics certified. So that is something that we're working on. We're working on our marketing strategy. Actually, we have a call after this just to assess which activities are must-haves, which activities are good, but not necessarily, we don't see necessarily them generating anything for us. Because marketing obviously plays a big role in sales. So,
yeah, I think it's fascinating because whether Invesp or FakeBuy, it's a small team. And there's just a potential of a million things that you can do. It's like, I can do this, I can do that. And sometimes you're just doing too many things, which means that you don't end up doing anything good. So just trying to focus which activities will have the most impact. And I think changing the philosophy, because I say that in the last couple of years, maybe a year and a half, has been sales focused. But every time we've tried, that was not successful. So now it's like more marketing focused. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you're trying to solve the problem of I need to get more clients. How do you solve that? By focusing on sales or you focus on marketing?
I think there's a balance between sales and marketing. There always has to be. But again, like you said, we're small. And right now we're down one man. So we need to just really like focus on certain activities and not on everything. Some people are like, okay, well, cast a wide net. That's really great to say when you have 10 different marketers that are working on that. But if you don't, you need to really focus your efforts.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Okay, couple of new hires, last couple of people thinking about marketing. That is a lot. How is your delivery team? Because I know we've had many changes. It's been a while now, so it's semi-settled.
It is semi-settled because I think we still don't have a balance of number of CROs to other team members. So if you don't have that balance, then there's going to be overlap in certain areas. So that's what we're currently just trying to make sure that we get it as much as we can to like that pod structure where it's CRO, designer, developer, QA. It's not a perfect number yet that we have. Again, like there's team members that are overlapped in multiple pods. So that's, I think, the biggest challenge is that And I don't know right now at this point, I don't see, maybe in a couple of months we'll be able to get to that, but it's a struggle to get to the exact number because sometimes even if you have like a pod that has CRO, developer, designer, QA resource, but they have, for example, 5 clients, typically in our experience, a developer can't necessarily handle 5 clients. So you're going to have to borrow another resource to be able to achieve the number of experiments that need to be deployed.
Yeah, so you need to look at more resources. There's always going to be some shared. I guess if I ask you this question, reflecting at the pod structure, because we've been doing it now, what, for about a year and a half, maybe something, a little bit more. It's not perfect. We haven't gotten it perfect all the time. Useful, not useful? Would you recommend it? Would you recommend it with a BART?
I mean, it helps with some things, but like I said, I think like we've just had a lot of ups and downs with it. And also moving to making the CRO the most important role in all this, I don't know that yet I can give you a full assessment on it. I feel like I need at least a couple more quarters to be able to give you a good answer. How about FigPi? I know that obviously there's a lot of things going on and there's like a push that maybe happened even today.
Yeah, that is always a push with FigPi. One of the big things that we've done, we've always been focused on performance enhancements and improvements. And it's challenging because the minute you install FigPi or any other software, it's a new JavaScript, it's a new application that you're installing on your website. Anybody who tells you it has no impact on any application that tells you, oh, we don't impact performance, they're not telling the truth. We're fully aware of that. So we're like, okay, let's minimize the impact that we have. So we've had several releases. One came out last week, which was really significant. So whenever you install an app, there's an impact on page speed. And website owners measure how well their page performs by using a Google Page Speed Insights tool available online. You give it your website URL and it tells you, oh, you're doing really well. You're out of 100, you're at 90 points or you're at some points. So it gives you a score. And of course, the higher the score, the better, the happier you are, and has lots of other impacts. Now, when you install one of those tools that compete with FigPi, usually you lose anywhere between 10 to 12 points. With FigPi, it was about 8 points. So we're doing better, but not significantly better. There are some websites who care about, oh no, yeah, I'm willing to lose 8 points, but I don't want to lose 12 points. Now, with the latest release that we've done, our impact is down to negative 3 points, which is absolutely amazing. So if you're at 90, you go down to 87. So that's a really big deal. It still is challenging because there's two sides to FigPi. There's FigPi itself, and then there's all the other stuff that people do within FigPi. I can improve FigPi. I cannot improve how you use FigPi. It's like almost like if you have a car, and the car can go fast or slow, and it's up to the driver. So we're always working with the different customers who are using FigPi to say, hey, this is not a good way to use FigPi with. Here's what you should do. There is a very big release that is coming up next week, Unified Analytics engine. So that's going to be very powerful because it's going to bring a ton of new features to FigPi. So I'm really super excited about this. It's fascinating to me because before we actually jumped in to do the Unified Analytics engine, we had estimated that this will take us anywhere between 6 to 8 months. And every time developers tell me something 6 to 8 months, I'm like, oh gosh, I remember my development days when I told my seniors 6 to 8 months, it means I had no clue. So I'm like, no, guys, 6 to 8 months, scary. It took us about 4 weeks to complete.
How did they give that initial estimate?
The initial estimate was just like literally a number that they threw out there. It was like, oh, I think it's 6 to 8 months.
Oh, come on.
You know, so like, you know, I mean, before we jumped in, I'm like, okay, guys, now let's break it down. Let's do a full evaluation. Let's do a small proof of concept just to really see what it would take. And then based on that, I'm like, I'm not going to move forward until I have all of this figured out. So they actually start doing that one small piece at a time. And yeah, within a month, I would say 99% of the functionality looks good. We're actually testing it as we speak. We start testing it in the morning, but it looks really good. So it's exciting to have that up and running. Now, what's interesting, because it's a different way of collecting data. We've been collecting data now for the past 6 years in a certain way, and now we're going to be collecting them differently. Okay, so you have about 3,000 sites already on FigPi. They're already using the old way. You can't just switch to say, oh yeah, here's a new way. All of your data was collected for the past 6 years in a certain way. So you need to, well, we're going to have to maintain parallel data processing. And slowly we're going to move people. So there's this whole other thing up due to the fact that we've just been doing business a certain way. That's one. The other piece, the fact that we managed to finish the single data analytics data source, if we finished it a lot faster, is we're looking at how AI could integrate with FicPi. So there's multiple ways. The amount of data that FicPi has, and it's fascinating, because finally I have numbers, about 10% of US traffic goes through FicPi, which is absolutely incredible. How they navigate on websites, how they shop, and I'm like, oh, this is absolutely amazing. About 30 million users in the US, look, they come to visit sites that are using FicPi. So I'm like, AI is very powerful. How can you analyze a website and a visitor on a website and their interaction? So we're doing some serious evaluation there to see how we can use AI in a meaningful way to integrate with FicPi. The other thing which we've talked about, it's funny because you're dealing with the same thing at Invesp, is hiring a salesperson, hiring an SDR. We're interviewing. We have one candidate for FicPi. I've told the team I will only hire two SDRs at a time. And I want to be very clear with them. I think that brings competition. I think that's very healthy. We're still working through that, trying to figure out who's the good candidate. What do we look for? What's even things such as here's the pay structure. Here is your base and your commission and how we pay the commission. Just trying to set that up. My rule there is I want to hire somebody who is hungry because I think there's so much potential for FicPi. And with the right sales team, I think that's going to push it until now. And it's amazing the growth that FicPi had, almost 500% year over year now. But it's been all organically, if you think about it. Hey, what would happen if you do very focused marketing, if you do sales? It's just an application. I love when somebody tells us something, I can't believe this existed. I never knew about it. I'm like, yeah, that's on me that people don't know about it. We shall see. But that's really FicPi and what's been happening in the world of FicPi. I add any big lessons, because it's been a while. I don't know if there's any big lessons.
I wrote down for my big lesson is that if you give people time and space and right opportunities to shine, they will. Again, with new hires, giving them the right task that is for them. But at the same time, also, when you're evaluating, it's interesting when you throw things at people and their willingness to run with things and what that teaches you about that person and what their potential is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It's people related, I guess. Plans for next week, honestly, I want to focus on the upsell. We've been talking about it a lot. I'm hoping the team, we've been working with the team to do a POC and they're working on it. Training the assistant PM. And then also I have on my plate just the QBRs to do those. So those are quarterly business reviews with the clients and getting a pulse and NPS on how we're doing and trying to upsell them as well on our service, getting more experiments, et cetera.
Yeah. Talk to us about the QBRs, because we do regular reviews with the clients. What's your strategy there? Here's what we've done.
Right now, my strategy is going to be mainly trying to, previous to me doing this, it was really our sales guy doing it. So this is me trying to establish that relationship with the client and providing them with some overview of how things are going within our program. I'm sure there's more details that I can add, but right now I just want to make sure I get a sense and a pulse, because one of our big objectives is trying to keep business longer, extend and increase the amount of time that a client stays with us. That's really the goal that I'm trying to achieve with this.
I'm a bit best of luck because it's keep the lights on. And I think actually it's fascinating to me, I don't know what you think about this, but looking at the how long a client stays with Invesp. And I'll reflect back, and I know it's a silly comparison to back 2006, 2007 when we started, where a client will stay anywhere 4 to 6 months. And now you have clients who are staying with you for years. Definitely the service has been a lot more sophisticated. But any other thoughts? I can't compare day and night.
I think also whenever we review clients and look at clients that have left us, for example, there's a certain type of client that works well with Invesp, that has an understanding of what we're doing, has an appreciation for A/B testing and conversion optimization. The moment that education is lacking or the moment management changes in some way, shape, or form, usually that signals losing a client. Yeah, I know from previous clients who the right profile is, but sometimes you just don't have the luxury to also pick and choose that profile in particular, although from a sales perspective, that's one of our goals, is to try to target those profiles that would work well with Invesp. All right. How about you? What lessons and plans?
I think maybe the biggest lesson for me is staying lean as much as you can. Because sometimes, you know, when sales are up, revenue is doing well, you feel like, oh, I can hire, I can do this, I can do this program, that program. And it's interesting because I stepped back and I said, okay, let's say I want to cut down. We're doing well in sales, but I want to cut down our expenses by 10, 15%. Is it possible? That forces you to make some decisions, correct? Where you say, you know what? Okay, I'm doing 1, 2, 3, 4. Now I'm cutting back. Maybe I need to cancel, just do 1, 2, 3. And it's amazing because you can cut back and there's no impact on business, neither short-term or long-term, which means that, okay, you are not spending money the right way in the first place. So I think staying lean and asking the right question when it comes to hiring, when it comes to expenses, is another way to make more money. Sometimes we're very focused on, oh, we need more sales, we need more sales. You can make the same amount of money with the same amount of sales, but by cutting back on some of your expenses and really thinking about, okay, do I really need to be doing this or not? What is the ROI that I expect by doing such and such activity? So that's a big lesson for me. As a plan for next week, like I mentioned, one of the things, and this was the first time I've actually had to touch code in about 16, 17 years, not programmed in so long. But we have access to all this data just because of FICPI and all the data that it collects. But this data is in so many different sources and so many different ways. And I'm like, you know what? Our dev team is really busy. So I bunkered down. I actually wrote my first Java program. Finished it yesterday, 24 hours. Not too bad for not touching any code. Less than 24 hours, probably 8 hours of coding. Initially, I tried to do the process manually and it was horrendous. It took a week and I was not going anywhere. So I'm like, you know what? I'm waiting for the dev team to do it. They're too busy. Let me just bite the bullet and just write the code. So I did. And it's funny because I was just looking at some of the insights, some of the data that I've pulled. And it's fascinating because you can now look at data from different sectors and how the economy is doing in Q1 2024. And you compare that to last year. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time analyzing data and really helping our team with the push to the single analytics engine. I think that's plenty of work if I manage to accomplish those two big things.
Excellent. That's a lot of work, Hyde.
It is a lot of work. It is fun, though. So I enjoy it. So with that, thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode from Bootstrapped. If you learned something new from this podcast or got some useful insights, we would really appreciate it if you leave us a review. Until next time.